got Billy Joe Royal in there with All Night Rain, and the Beatles did Penny Lane, and that's going to do it for Morgan tonight. Hope you'll be with me tomorrow night at 8 o'clock where we shake the mystery box again. And if you get what's in the box, you'll win an album for 0.97. This is KOIN Portland. It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. President Ford is asking Congress to approve his plan to reorganize the Federal Election Commission. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The president asked the lawmakers to approve his plan to keep the commission alive. He said action should come quickly to prevent abuses in the campaigns that will be waged this year. Last month, the Supreme Court ruled the commission unconstitutional because four of its six members were appointed by Congress. It said appointment of members should be the president's job and gave the lawmakers until March 1st to change the law. President Ford said if Congress keeps the commission going, it'll be the chief instrument for achieving clean federal elections and restoring public confidence in the nation's political processes. In a speech to a group of high school principals on Monday, President Ford asked for help to end what he termed alarming trends of alienation among young people. The president deplored cynicism among the young about government and politics. He said ways must be found to show them what is right about the country and how they can participate in its decision-making process. More news in a moment.
If I could leave one thing with you, when I'd leave this earth behind, I'd like to leave a brightened sky as my gift to all mankind. If I could choose just one small thing to the children, I'd be free. A life forever and healthy, something nice to breathe. I'd leave you all with a breath of your fresh air.
Air pollution is a man-made product that grew up in a machine age, the result of a means to an end. But the end must change if we're to continue breathing. We can clean up the air, perhaps even in your time, but we need your help. Won't you? Join with your lung association in the fight against air pollution. It's a matter of life and breath.
Secretary of State Kissinger arrived in Caracas, Venezuela, Monday afternoon to begin a 9-day tour of Latin America. At the Caracas airport, Kissinger made this statement after being welcomed by Venezuela's president.
I fully subscribe to the view so eloquently enunciated by President Perez that we must create a world of cooperation and avoid the dangerous confrontations that arise from a world haunted by injustice and contradictions. Nations of this hemisphere, which, with all their differences, have so many common ties, can make a major contribution to a world of peace and progress and justice. It is in this spirit that I come to Venezuela today.
Kissinger will also visit Peru, Brazil, Guatemala, Costa Rica, and Colombia. President Isabel Perón of Argentina moved Monday night to end a threat against her rule. She declared an end to a special session of Congress during which some lawmakers would have tried to impeach her or otherwise force her out of office. A proposal has been put forth to change the nation's grain inspection system. George Herman in Washington has details.
The General Accounting Office, the research arm of Congress, has told two congressional committees the present scandal-ridden system of grain inspection by state agencies and licensed private firms probably cannot be adequately tightened up and should be replaced by a federal inspection system. The Agriculture Department's reply, included in the GAO report, is that it has already begun improvements and has asked for legislation to eliminate still other problems. The department is just a bit touchy about it all. It's expecting another wave of indictments of grain inspectors on criminal charges. But it says the present system, with new improvements and new manpower, can do the job better and more cheaply than a federal system. The General Accounting Office disagrees, saying the past performance of the department and the complex interrelations between seller and inspector in the present system indicate a need for greater reforms so that foreign buyers can know in the future that they're getting full measure and full quality when they buy food from America. George Herman, CBS News, Washington.
In Boston Monday evening, police were called out to break a disturbance of about 400 young people protesting a busing program at a local school. Now this.
Imagine living without electricity, or indoor plumbing, or food when you're hungry, or clothing when you're cold, or a job when you need money, or a school to get an education. Millions of children around the world don't have to imagine. They live that way. But there is hope, and you're it. By contributing to Save the Children Federation, you can help erase a lifetime of misery. All it takes is a few dollars. Won't you please send your check to Save the Children, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York, 10017.
Son, you're a credit to your father.
Oh, you never said that about him before. What did he do now?
Not him. The Internal Revenue Service. The new tax reduction law now lets us take a $30 credit off our federal income tax for each person we can claim as a dependent.
Oh, I thought we got a $750 exemption.
We still do. But for every such personal exemption for you, me, and the kids, we can deduct $30 right off the tax we owe, up to the amount of the tax, but no more.
My dad's over 65. He gets a double exemption. Does he get a double credit?
Sorry, only one credit per person.
Monday was supposed to be the official celebration of Washington's birthday, but a lot of the big names in Washington, D.C. gave it little more than lip service. President Ford sent a message over to Capitol Hill, but did not go there himself. The message was a reading of George Washington's farewell address. Fewer than 10 senators attended the reading. In the House, the high point was 19 members. A lot of the empty seats were filled by congressional employees and the children of the representatives. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
In Radio 97 News, a young woman has reported to Josephine County authorities that she was raped Sunday on a side road off Interstate 5 near Grants Pass. 20-year-old woman said she was leaving a market in the community of Merlin, just north of Grants Pass, when a man in his mid-20s forced her into his car. She said he drove about 2 miles and raped her at knife point before releasing her and driving off. She went to the nearest house and telephoned authorities. Officials report also that a man who was committed to Oregon State Hospital after being charged with stabbing a woman has run away from the hospital. 28-year-old Merle Gilmore has not been seen since he left his ward for a work detail in another building at the hospital on Sunday. He was found innocent by reason of insanity to a charge of attempted murder last year after Georgiana Douse was stabbed in the abdomen with a butcher knife. She has recovered. A search will resume after daybreak for three missing hikers from Grants Pass in the Siskiyou National Forest. Those missing are Wally Aiken, Kathy Adams, and Ernie Adams. The young backpackers failed to show up as planned on Saturday. A foot of snow, incidentally, has fallen in the area since early last week. Near Rainier, searchers are still looking for 25-year-old school bus driver Victoria Vicky Brown. She's been missing for a week, and police fear she may have met with foul play. Ms. Brown vanished. After completing a special bus run for students participating in after-school activities, blood was found splattered in the school bus barn, and Ms. Brown's purse was found nearby, and her car was in the parking lot. Columbia County District Attorney Martin Sells has declined to say if a motive has been established for the disappearance, but he did not rule out the possibility of rape. The first woman to graduate from the Oregon State Police Academy is now a full-fledged police officer, Barbara Clanton. A 1971 graduate of the Oregon Police Academy had filed charges and grievances alleging sex discrimination. The city relented and changed her title to police officer from the previous title of matron dispatcher. And the weather forecast for the Portland-Vancouver area calls for mostly cloudy weather tonight, a few showers this evening. Rain likely late tonight, continuing through Tuesday. Rain turning to showers on Wednesday with lows 40 to 45, highs 50 to 55. That's Radio 97 News at 11:08.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Do you believe in ghosts? Oh, not necessarily the old-fashioned kind, dragging clanking chains behind them, the fetid odor of the grave, voicing the ghastly groans of souls in torment, or threatening some terrible supernatural justice that they intend to wield. I'm thinking of gentler ghosts who have your interest in mind, not your destruction.
No consciousness yet, Kathy?
No.
How's the scope, nurse?
T-waves are almost flat. What happened, Bruce?
Potassium imbalance. She must have lost too much.
Can we save her?
We damn well better. Stephen Champion signed his death warrant for this child. She's got to come through. Stephen had every reason for living. He's got to have a decent one for dying.
Mystery drama, Angel of Death, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Marion Seldes and Michael Wager. It is sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule, and Buick Motor Division.
I'll be back shortly with Act One. For a lot of people, a full-size car is a downright necessity. Buick understands that, which is why they build Le Sabre, a car with lots of standard comfort and convenience, a big trunk, and honest-to-goodness elbow room for six. Buick Le Sabre, free spirit in the family size.
Like choicest hops, rice, and best barley malt, the ingredients of great beer. And the Budweiser people list them on their label, the same way they brew them, with pride.
When you say Budweiser,
you've said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Who will cope with tomorrow for a brighter new day? There's one hope for tomorrow, the children of today.
There is only one hope for tomorrow, the children. Yet there are children in this world right now who have no hope for a brighter today. They're hungry, illiterate, living in misery, and when they grow up, if they grow up, they'll pass on this hopelessness. And it's the world's loss and the world's shame. You can help children to grow up with healthy bodies and educated minds, with a zest for life that they'll pass on to their children and to our world. Won't you please send a check to Save the Children Federation, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York 10017. That's Save the Children, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York 10017. Think about tomorrow.
We've got to save the children.
The present and of the past, and in a couple of ways of the future as well. It is also a story of life and death, death both violent and accidental, and death that is natural and supernatural. It is a haunting story in the actual and also the figurative sense. It is a story of hope deferred and renewed. And it begins with a wildly emotional threat.
I could kill you, Frank!
Dee, darling, for Pete's sake, get hold of yourself.
How could you dare? Everything I have to remember him by and cherish him by. You throw it out like discarded rubbish.
Do you think it didn't tear my heart out to do it, too?
I don't care what it did to you. All I know is what it did to me. You deliberately buried every memory I have of my son.
Your son?
Our son. If after what you've done can make you pretend he meant as much to you.
I resent that.
Well, I resent that you constitute yourself God. Or an amateur psychiatrist, whatever you think you are, to strip his room bare of all my memories.
Dorothy. Dorothy, we lost our boy. I was involved, too, just as much as you. But to continue to keep Jimmy's room as a sort of shrine, that was sick. To moon over the first sleeping animals we gave him, the Bap and Grub, I was sentimental idiot enough to give him too soon. To keep it all intact like Little Boy Blue's room as if he was coming back. That's what was destroying us and destroying you.
He was my only one. He's gone. He's
but the
gone.
Doctors
the
all
doctors,
said...
The doctors.
With your background, you should thank them.
All right, once they saved my life, what could they do for our Jimmy?
There's a world of difference between being totaled in a crash like Jimmy was and being rescued by medical science. 15 years ago, you'd have been just as dead if it wasn't
for... What a terrible thing to say.
I'm trying to bring you to your senses. Good Lord, Dorothy, do you think I can stand by and see our marriage fall apart over a tragedy that should have and did shake us both to bedrock, but that we have to overcome?
I can't, Frank.
Darling, Dorothy, please, listen to me. We've lost Jimmy. He's gone. All I wanted to do was to clear him out of your mind because we can have other kids.
No,
and...
no. There aren't any substitutes. You can't try to make life a simple little exchange like that. A substitute won't bring Jimmy back.
Right. So why do you think I gave everything away of his... changed that unhealthy, altered... to a son we both once had into just another room in the house. I want you to forget Jimmy.
I'll never forget him.
Well, I didn't mean it quite that way. You don't understand.
You're right, Frank. We don't understand each other any longer. I feel my life is over. You don't. So make the most of what you have left.
Where are you going?
Away. Out of it. A moment ago, I said a silly thing. I wanted to kill you. What I really should have said is I want to kill myself. Oh, I wish I had the courage. Because all I want to be is dead. Like my son.
Dorothy! Dorothy! Where are you going? Dorothy! No! Come back! Come back!
Please forgive me up there or wherever you are, if you are. I'm just coming apart and I don't know what could pace me back together. I don't even know what I'm doing in the car. Hurtling through the night too fast for this mountain road. Why should I want to kill myself when I have a husband who's loving and kind? Even if he doesn't understand, I can't get over Jimmy's death. How can I blame Frank? And yet, to take all the mementos of my child away and give them to... What am I thinking? I'm mad. But face it, anyone who doesn't want to live anymore...
Which aside from being an insult to me is a silly thing to think at 26 years of age.
Who are you?
I'm not quite sure anymore. Once I thought I knew. Now I don't.
How did you get in the car?
That wasn't my problem. I'm always with you, whether you see me or not.
I don't understand. In a way, you seem like someone I might have known, but I don't actually recognize you. And still, I'm sure we must have met.
Well, we did meet, but very briefly, a long time ago.
Yes, and I feel I... owe you something.
No, I don't. It was just a fair exchange, your life for mine. And between us, I don't think mine could have been saved.
I'm puzzled. I don't...
So many things that puzzle you, aren't there?
Yeah, I must be seeing things, thinking things... I am alone in this car. There's nobody else but me.
That could be right.
What?
If you don't remember me, I guess I don't exist.
You mean you're a ghost?
Or something that haunts you.
Well, why would you haunt me?
Because you called.
I called?
Yes. Something to do with your conscience, I might imagine.
My conscience?
I think it's troubling you.
This is all crazy. Who are you?
You still don't remember?
I can't... Something...
mad talking to myself. You can't be here. There was nobody but me in the car when I got in. What are you doing here? Where are you from?
From inside your mind, buried deep in the layers of memory. What am I here for? To save you from yourself.
Well, what does that mean?
You blame your husband for your son's death?
Yes.
Oh, no. Is it the thing that matters? The only thing that matters is when Jimmy was lost, we lost each other. I'll never find my way back to Frank, to what we had. Jimmy stands in the way. He always will.
And so you're running away into the night. To do what?
Oh, I don't know, to get away from it. I can't stand that empty room. And an empty heart.
You know you can't fill either of them up by running away.
I know.
You have some other idea? Did you want to kill yourself?
No. Oh, no, I don't believe in that.
Huh? Are you sure? Look at your knuckles. Dead white, because your hands are clenched so tightly on the wheel. Ah, look at your right foot, jamming the accelerator to the floor. Look in your heart. Consciously or subconsciously, didn't you have something like this in mind? Nothing. Yet. I wanted to give you a glimpse of the future. And I did.
You mean I'm going to crash?
I mean you could if you don't turn back.
I can't. There's nothing for me either way I turn. I've lost it all. I just don't want to live.
Well, I don't think that's quite fair to me.
To you? What claim do you have on me?
Maybe I'd better light up the past for you. Open your memory and tell you why I have, not a claim, but shall we say a vested interest in you. 16, perhaps 17 years ago, you were a little girl of 10 with a whole life ahead of you. And I was quite an old man, early in my 70s, with most of my life behind me. I never married Dorothy, and I never had a child. The nearest thing was a young man who was one of my medical students and who, in the year that I'm talking about, was a pioneer in a process I helped to develop to save lives. Something taken for granted today, but in the late 50s, so new and so untried that it tied up 5 doctors who volunteered time for 8 to 10 hours at the stretch. I'll tell you about that later. That medical student I mentioned had just been made chief of surgical services of the Westfield Community Hospital here. And I was flying up to be at his wedding, to stand in loco parentis, since Bruce's father was dead. When suddenly the old man with the scythe decided to take a swipe at me.
Good morning, Dr. Johnson. You're on page.
I heard it. Thank you, nurse. I'm on my way to Dr. Harding's now.
You're a lucky girl.
Don't I know it? 3 days till the wedding.
I didn't mean that. I meant you're the only one in this hospital can answer that summons without taking a deep breath.
You think he's all that tough?
He runs a tight ship. You, maybe he treats with kid gloves.
Don't you ever believe it. When our new chief of surgery puts me on page, he wants the physician, not the fiancé. I'd better straighten up and fly, right?
Come. Good morning, Dr. Johnson.
Morning, Dr. Harding. Bruce.
Kathy, darling.
Every doctor's day should begin like this.
I wish mine had begun as well.
What is it?
No wedding shopping this afternoon. We're both needed on the artificial kidney. I'm just calling the team together now.
Who's the patient?
One of our wedding guests. outside of my mother, the most important one on my side of the aisle.
Oh, not your old teacher, not...
Stephen Champion. The top biologist in this country, maybe in the world. They just called me from the airport. He's on the way by ambulance. Thank God we're one of the first hospitals in the country to have a machine.
Renal failure?
Possibly terminal. Certainly without the support we can offer.
Maybe it isn't that serious.
Let's not kid ourselves, Kathy. I talked to Steve briefly. Damn the luck. One of the great men of our century, teacher, scientist, Nobel Prize winner, pioneer in every kind of perfusion pump, including the kidney machine he's coming here to use. And the nearest thing to a father I've ever known.
Don't sound so hopeless, darling.
Face it, Kathy, he's not young. But, well, the way things go today, there's always hope. Stephen's given his whole life to medicine. The least we can do is try to save what's left of it for him.
And so we have turned back from a story of the present for one in the not-too-distant past, and have learned who that quiet, understanding ghost that haunts and tries to comfort Dorothy Maitland is, or was. But how was his fate tied in with hers? When did he die, and how? And why his concern? I shall return shortly with Act Two.
Allstate asks, do you own a small business? Go over these questions with your present group health and life insurance agent. If your agent doesn't say yes to every one, then...
talk to the good hands people.
First question. Does your present major medical benefit keep on paying no matter how expensive the accident or illness becomes? If not...
talk to the good hands people.
Is your present plan designed to pay up to 95% of hospital expenses? If not...
talk to the good hands, people. You're in good hands with Allstate.
See your Allstate agent to find out what an Allstate plan costs, what is and isn't covered, including benefit reductions and terms under which insurance continues in force. Allstate Insurance Companies. Available in most states to businesses that qualify.
Did this ever happen to you? You see or hear an ad like this. Dining room set, only $99. But when you get to the store, they tell you, we already sold it. Or instead, they show you a set that's in really bad shape. And then they try to sell you another set for $299. This is Gene King for the Council of Better Business Bureaus. And this practice is known as bait and switch. Something is advertised for a very low price. That's the bait, and they don't intend to sell it. And then the salesman tries to sell you something more expensive, and that's the switch. Bait and switch is illegal. Don't fall for it. Here's how to protect yourself. Be suspicious of any attempt by the salesman to sell you something you're not really interested in. If the salesman refuses to show you the advertised item, take your business elsewhere. And if you have any doubts at all about making a purchase, don't sign anything until you've checked out the offer completely.
It is incredible to think that hemodialysis, or the artificial kidney, is a standard piece of supportive equipment available in any hospital today. In addition, it is small and portable. Medicine marches with such giant strides. Less than 20 years ago, hemodialysis was a new and only hope to preserve the patient's life. Transplants were still a thing of the future.
Atkins, what's this note about little Dee Dee Blake being scheduled for surgery?
Dr. LeBar's orders, Dr. Johnson. She had a reverse.
When?
During the night.
Why wasn't I notified immediately?
Well, the chief resident knows you're going to be married next week, and since Dr. LeBar is standby on the case...
The resident stuck his neck out. I'll be glad to lop it off for him later. My patients get my service. I'll have time to check Dee Dee before I go to the kidney room. I want to examine her myself. Will you see that she's prepped while I change? Oh, and notify Central where I'll be in case Dr. Harding needs me.
can put Mr. Champion over there, orderly.
Brought me straight to the monster, huh, Bruce?
Stop along the way, Steve. I examined you in the treatment room, ran off some tests.
Oh, did you now? I don't remember that. I must be worse off than I thought. Am I?
Just routine. I have to establish the balance of chemicals for the bath.
Coming to the point, I think you know that I'm a hard man to con.
I do.
We owe each other the truth, don't we, Bruce?
Yes, Steve. But you know it as well as I do.
Yeah. I would have liked to see you married and drunk some of your champagne. But I have no other complaints. It's been a long road, and there has to be an end sometime.
Not yet. Not by a long shot.
I wonder.
The artificial kidney saves lives every day.
I helped to build it for that.
Steve, 10 hours on it, and your own kidneys will be strong and healthy enough to fight the uremic infection.
I'm old, son. And I'm very, very tired. Why continue the fight? There's no one to battle for, no one of my own to mourn me.
That's simply not true.
No wife, no child, no issue. When I cease to function, then I'm gone. Like a snowflake melted on a river.
Not for me. You'll never be gone. Or a whole generation of people whose lifespan has been lengthened by your discoveries. Besides, you yourself have left us the means to prolong yours and the team of doctors I've assembled here to make sure it is prolonged.
Is this poor old carcass really worth all that trouble?
In my book it is. Not only for this machine alone, but all the others you've worked on, the breakthroughs you've made. Who in the world is more worth it?
Make me sound like an entry in Who's Who. Dry words in a dusty book. My epitaph.
What I do or achieve in my lifetime will be a drop in the bucket next to what Stephen Champion has contributed. We need you for the next breakthrough.
You're a better con man than I gave you credit for. Bring on your cannula. Let's make a fight for it.
That's the attitude. I'll go scrub to make the cut down. Oh, what? Excuse me. Kidney room, Dr. Harding speaking. This room is supposed to be zeroed out.
Bruce, it's Kathy.
Kathy, where the Sam Hill are you? We're all ready to go. You're keeping us waiting.
I'm sorry, darling. I may have to hold up things a little longer.
What does that mean?
I'm up in Dee Dee Blake's room.
Who? Oh, your favorite little patient, 513. Something's wrong.
I need you up here, Bruce.
Are you out of your mind? You know the one place I'm needed is right here. What is it?
What I was afraid of started last night. Dr. Labar scheduled her for ops this morning.
So? What do you want me to do about it?
Even though it's technically my case, he outranks me. I want you to countermand that order.
Why?
Because I think she's in no condition to stand surgery. I'm convinced I know what she needs, and that's a decision you're the only one who can make.
Oh, Kathy, for Pete's sake, let's not start our life together with you taking advantage of the fact that I...
Dr. Harding, this is Dr. Johnson talking to you, and this is an emergency.
All right, it had better be. I'll be right up there to see for myself. Steve, small crisis. Give me 5 minutes.
I've lived for 73 years, Bruce. I guess I can hang on for 5 more minutes.
And I don't like doctors anymore.
Even Dr. Johnson?
Oh, not her. We're forever friends.
We're also perennial pals, solid sidekicks, and bosom buddies.
It's a game. You have to be illiterate to play it.
That's with an A, not an I.
Of course. If you were illiterate, you couldn't play. Illiterate means the first letters of both words are the same. Or any number. Like in Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers.
Or a big black bug bit a big brown bear.
That's pretty good for a man doctor.
And you're pretty smart for a 10-year-old.
Well, Dr. Johnson taught me. Old Dr. Labar never could. Anyway, he has a mustache.
I'm glad Dr. Johnson doesn't. But you know, Dr. Labar is a very good doctor.
I don't think so. He wants to operate on me again.
He told you that?
Just last night. He said I had one bad old kidney that was poisoning the other one, so he'd have to cut the naughty one out. He talks down, you know. But you won't let him, will you?
Talk down?
No, take it out.
We'll try not to, Dee Dee. Do you mind if I ask Dr. Johnson some questions?
Can I listen?
If you want. But I bet you won't understand. What's the blood urea nitrogen in the last 5 days?
Wednesday, 94.
Thursday?
115. Friday, 138.
Saturday?
Same, but today, 225.
What's the phosphorus count?
7.5.
Renal acidosis. Low calcium.
6.8.
Creatinine?
5.4.
You don't sound like doctors.
Oh? What do we sound like?
Quarterbacks. Learning plays. I helped my brother with his playbook. He's one.
A doctor?
No, a quarterback. He's only 15. I don't care. I'm so tired.
Nurse, get her back on IV. Come over here, Kathy.
What do you think, Bruce?
I think Labar was right. No question one kidney is seriously infected. I can tell that even from palpation. There's obvious bilateral involvement, not only indicated manually, but from the output.
So you agree to the operation?
Absolutely not. She's in no condition to take it.
Then you know what the answer is.
Hemodialysis.
That's why I called you up here.
After Stephen Champion.
It could be too late.
She could recover spontaneously. Dee Dee is young.
It's her youth that concerns me. She's just a little girl with her whole life ahead of her. But Stephen Champion... Oh, darling, I know how much he means to you. What a terrible thing I have to say. But which is the most deserving?
You cannot ask me to put Steve's life on the line. Yes, nurse, what is it?
It's Dee Dee. She's gone into coma.
I'll handle this, Kathy. Check Mr. Champion downstairs. I'll be with you the first moment I can.
You want me to set up the kidney machine for Dee Dee instead?
I don't know. How can I ask a man like Stephen Champion to risk giving up his life? Me. Of all people.
How can you ask a child to give up her right to it? Oh, my darling, why must I be the one to ask you to make such a decision? Just a little oxygen, Mr. Champion. Nothing to be afraid of.
I don't need it. My age, there's nothing left to be afraid of. Or everything. Who are you?
I'm Dr. Johnson.
No, you're not. You're Kathy.
Sorry, I held things up.
That's all right. Now, you're the girl Bruce Harding's going to marry.
Guilty as charged.
Oh, no. Life is for the young. And I wish you all its wonder.
Bruce will be right down. It's my fault he's delayed. I'm sorry.
I'm not. Gives me a chance to talk to you a moment. Just tell me about this little patient of yours.
Why do you want to talk about Dee Dee Blake?
Well, I have my reasons. Female?
Most definitely.
Attractive?
Adorable. Big, dark, haunting eyes. A complete femme fatale. She's 10 years old.
What's the matter with her?
Well, it should have been just a simple appendicitis, but it perforated.
Peritonitis?
Yes.
I begin to see a pattern. Probable sulfur reaction, huh?
That's right.
The threat of renal failure. Too late for surgical procedure.
How could you know all this?
Heard enough from this end when you were talking to Bruce to make an educated guess. This poses quite a problem, doesn't it?
I don't follow you.
Of course you do. She needs hemodialysis on an emergency basis, as I do. One kidney machine to serve two emergencies. Which do you save first, huh? 10-year-old girl with the dark, haunting eyes who might have the reserves of strength in her own young vitals to recover? A weak old man with possibly great contributions left to make to society who stands a good chance of not making it, even with supportive measures. No time to convene the death committee. This one's on Bruce alone. It's one heck of a hot potato you handed your husband to be, isn't it, Kathy? I wonder what he'll do.
The old man's blue eyes are still piercing under the shaggy brows, in spite of his weakness. Kathy is held immobilized, aware now that her fondness for her own patient has forced an unbearable choice on the man she loves. I'll return shortly with Act 3.
You've worked hard to get where you are, and now would be a very good time to give yourself a little pat on the back in the form of Buick Electra, a car filled with room, luxury, comfort, the perfect place for you and your free spirit to get together. Buick Electra. Think of it as recognition for a job well done.
Somebody still cares about quality. To the Budweiser people, that's a lot more than just words. It's a commitment and a promise to keep brewing Budweiser the way it's always been brewed. With care, with pride, and with a Beechwood-aged taste that speaks for itself. Hear it talking? Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Dreams. We all seek to understand the many ways in which God reveals His Word. The book of Job says this about dreams. God speaks first in one way and then in another, but no one notices. He speaks in dreams and visions that come in the night. When slumber comes on mankind and all men are asleep in bed, then it is He whispers in the ear of man, or may frighten him with fearful sights and turn him away from evil doing to save his soul from the pit. So listen to your dreams. They could guide you to new and positive directions. For your free booklet on dreams, write to the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021. That's the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021.
Kathy, her breath still caught in her throat, stares fixedly at the shrewd old man who has stated the dilemma Bruce faces. Her brain fumbles to think what she would do in his position. And on a personal and selfish level, while wondering how Bruce will react, she cannot help a twinge of fear at what his decision will do to their personal relationship, whichever way it goes.
Tell me about your patient, Kathy. Tell me about this Dee Dee, or whatever her name is. Is she intelligent?
I think so.
And what contributions do you think she can make to society at large?
It's a little too early to tell.
Is it? Does she have good pelvic construction? Will she bear healthy children?
I'm sure she will someday.
So, that's Stevie. Now let's have a look at Stephen Champion. Do you know what I'm working on, or was, before I was hospitalized?
No, I don't.
In a complex field, the collagens. But I won't explain, except to say that the breakthrough I believe I am near could mean all the difference to thousands, to countless lives. Well, I'd like to be a part of that.
I don't blame you.
Well, not so much for myself, but if it doesn't sound too stuffy, for humanity.
I knew that's what you meant.
And there's also the thought that for faithful service, a man should be entitled to ask for a reward. Isn't he?
Yes.
Particularly when the reward is the use of something he pioneered and developed.
There's no question.
And totally on the personal level, I want it to be at your wedding more than anything else I can think of. Because Bruce Harding is the closest thing to a child I ever...
I think you've proved your point, though, Mr. Champion.
Have I? Ah, well, there you are at last, Bruce. You ready to start?
Stephen,
Well, come on, spit it out.
You know the artificial kidney can be the difference between life and death. You know that as head of the team, I must decide when and on whom to employ it.
You want to tell me that there's a child who needs it just as much as I. Let's stop wasting time. Get her in here and get started.
I'm not asking you to make the decision.
Of course you're not. I'm telling you. If it came to that point, you'd make the decision. In fact, you'd already made it, hadn't you?
Oh, Stephen, I...
You know damn well you had, and I heartily concur. Anyway, you can't hook me up to that contraption unless I agree. And I don't.
But I thought that you...
Oh, Kathy, my dear, I only took you over the hoops to make sure you knew the kind of guts it took for your husband to make this decision. And what a good man you're marrying. Now, let's get that little girl down here. And you, too, listen to me, both of you. You pull her through, or I'll never speak to either one of you again.
Is the bath ready, Kathy?
Yes, Dr. Harding.
Had enough time for diffusion, nurse?
All set.
How's your picture on the cardioscope, Dr. Mason?
See for yourself. I don't like those T waves. We'd better get started.
I'll make the cut down.
Are they going to put me in that big tub?
No, dear. We're just going to attach you to it so it can take all the poison out of your blood.
How could you attach me?
I'm just going to make a little cut in your arm. Right here. And put the magic tube in.
Will it hurt?
No. Dr. Johnson is putting something on you so you won't even feel it.
I can't even feel my heart now. You won't let it stop.
I won't let it stop, Dee Dee.
How long have they been down with the little girl, nurse?
Only a couple of hours, Mr. Champion.
Long time to go. Man never grows too old for new experiences. For the first time, I know what a father goes through waiting for the birth of his first child. A new life for Dee Dee, as if she was born again. And I had a part in it, almost as if she were my little girl.
That's right. Close your eyes and rest.
No, not to rest. To... pray.
How's the scope, Doctor?
T waves are almost flat.
What happened?
Potassium imbalance. She must have lost too much.
But can we save her?
After all that's happened, we'd better. Let me listen. Arrhythmia.
How high do you want the potassium? 5?
The way the EKG looks, bring it to 6. Let's see, what's the atomic weight of potassium?
39 plus.
Chlorine, 35, so in a 100-liter bath, that makes it 8 grams, right?
Go to the head of the class, you've got it.
Oh. Now we wait. Why does diffusion have to be so damnably slow?
You sure it was potassium?
Damn well better be. We'll have lost 2 patients. It's 100-1 Stephen signed his death warrant for this child. She has got to come through. Stephen Champion has every reason for living. He's got to have a decent one for dying. Morning, Stephen.
Roy? That's you, Bruce. When are you going to hook me up to that infernal machine of ours?
You were on it for 10 hours last night.
I was? I don't remember. I'm afraid it didn't do much good. The old kidneys are too far gone for that. Someday, soon, we'll make one of those breakthroughs, and you'll be able to fit me for a new set. Or one. One be enough.
If a transplant were only possible.
Yeah, but it isn't yet. Anyway, I'm tired of talking about me. How's the little girl?
She came through with flying colors. We'll save both her kidneys.
There's a nice thing. And a sad thing.
What do you mean?
I'm a lifesaver. Well, in actuarial figures. I'm a statistician's delight because I've improved percentage figures on life expectancy in a lot of fields. But of all of them, whoever they were, I never got to know one single human being whose life my research ever saved.
There's one you can meet if you want. Dee Dee, you saved her life directly.
My best promise of whatever immortality I'll have. Yes. With all my heart, I want to meet Dee Dee. So, you're Dee Dee.
Yes, Mr. Champion.
How do you feel, Dee Dee?
Real good, thanks. How do you?
Oh, terrible, terrible.
If you want to feel real good like me, you should have Dr. Johnson and Dr. Harden fix you up.
That's just what I aim to do.
They're a team.
And a good one.
The only thing is, they take an awful long time. And a person gets pretty tired.
Maybe it's time for you to go, huh?
Well, I don't mean to be, but I am real sleepy.
Yeah, come to think of it, so am I. Bye-bye, Dee Dee.
Bye, Steve. Get a good long rest. Sleep tight, Steve.
That's just what I'll do, Dee Dee.
You can take her upstairs now, nurse. And close the door.
Bruce. Mr. Champion.
I know, Kathy. Steve.
Sleep tight, Steve. No woman ever said that to me but that little girl. When I never had.
We've got to get you back on the kidney.
Wouldn't help. It doesn't matter. Let the rest of them find the breakthroughs. I'm happy. You may be going to get married, Bruce, but I beat you to it, boy.
Beat me to what?
Editing out the cigars. I finally became a father.
So that's who you are. That means you are dead. You're a ghost.
Oh, I can think of pleasanter terms. Let's say you're a guardian angel. Why don't you pull over and park in that turnaround up ahead?
Why?
Well, you make up your own mind about that. Just be a good girl and stop there as I tell you.
All right.
Yeah, that's better. Nice and quiet. Easier to think.
I remember everything now. I was so sleepy, I didn't understand why I had to go and meet you.
I owe you my life.
You don't really owe me anything, Dee Dee. Except that in you I've borrowed a little piece of immortality, as long as you lived. Of course, if you don't, I lose that. Now I have to go.
No, wait. How can I go back? I haven't the courage. I need help.
You don't need help except from within yourself. You see, I really am a ghost, Dee Dee. I don't exist. Except in some dim, buried subconsciousness, perhaps. I never was there.
But I've been talking to you. And just talking to you.
You've come to a decision. If you have, it's your own. Don't you see? The only one you've been talking to is yourself. Yourself. Yourself.
Where have you been? I've been out of my skull. I didn't know what to do. I was just about ready to call the police.
Frank, just hold me. Don't say anything.
Oh, I'll hold you. Don't ever worry.
Oh.
I'll hold you so you can never run away again.
I never will. Let's go inside. Home. And start all over again.
Of course, dearest. You must be terribly tired. You're worn out.
No, no, darling, no. I have a new lease on life. I'm looking for a new little boy. Who's going to be called Stevie. I'll even settle for a girl. We'll call her Stephanie. Come on, darling, come, Frank.
Where?
You and I are going to build another piece of immortality for someone. You and I are going to have a new baby.
So Stephen Champion will achieve his piece of immortality after all. For the only sure life after death is the memory of us. The memory that stays in the hearts and minds of our friends. And our families, and their children's children. I'll be back shortly.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your cold to one touch, the sooner the better.
The most successful selling cold medicine in the world is a little capsule. It's Contac. It contains no ingredients for aches and fever, no cough medicine, yet gives you longer relief per dose than any pill, any liquid. Full-time 24-hour relief of your sneezing, drips, and congestion. Contac. It's tiny time pills contain ingredients to work up to 12 hours. That's longer relief per dose from those symptoms than any pill, any liquid. So, give your cold a Contac. All day, all night. Full time.
Give your cold.
Use only as directed.
Did Dee Dee really see a ghost in the car? Or was it just the evocation of a memory buried and forgotten in childhood, but still haunting the corridors of the mind? Doesn't really matter, does it? For ghosts are real. All of us carry them within us. Nor should the word ghost be feared. The most persistent of them are a heritage of our parents' love. As Steve said, a better name would be guardian angels. Our cast included Michael Wager, Marion Seldes, Robert Dryden, Hedy Galen, and Shelley Bruce. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
I heard that somebody lifted it.
Rest assured that by now Colonel Poulos has received information from Interpol and is probably looking for you too. Now, you will give me the sacred rope or I will kill you here and now.
All right, now, hold it a second,
and
will you?
Naturally, when I kill you, the young lady cannot be allowed to exist as a witness.
Ah, oh, he's bluffing.
You will place the necklace in my hands now.
If I had the necklace, I wouldn't have it on me, right? I'd have it stashed. So if you knock me off, you'll never get your hands on it.
Once again, this is not a motion picture. Such a speech means nothing. And Mr. Turner, killing you will give me much pleasure. Kidding anyone is pleasurable.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Allstate Insurance Companies. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
KOIN, Portland.
CBS News. The American Bar Association's governing body votes today on the controversial issue of whether to advertise. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The ABA House of Delegates meeting in Philadelphia debates a plan that would allow lawyers to give consumer groups a list of fees and areas of law in which they concentrate. The ABA currently does not allow any advertising. There is strong consumer pressure to approve the plan. A suit by the Consumers Union challenging the ABA's ban comes up for trial next month in federal court. The House of Delegates yesterday urged passage of laws aimed at keeping the Justice Department out of politics. Fred Graham reports.
The House of Delegates formally called upon Congress to make it illegal for a person who has played a leading role in a presidential campaign to subsequently be appointed Attorney General or Deputy Attorney General. The action was an obvious effort to avoid a repetition of the Watergate scandals, which saw two of Richard Nixon's former top campaign aides, Attorneys General John Mitchell and Richard Kleindienst, later be convicted of Watergate-related crimes. The ABA proposal also called for appointment of a special prosecutor whenever political scandals arise and for rules outlawing White House interference with the FBI and the IRS. The ABA also called for creation of a new National Court of Appeals just below the Supreme Court to help it deal with its heavy load of cases. Fred Graham, CBS News, Philadelphia.
I'll have more news in a minute.
You're listening to the beginning of something. An automobile commercial? No. As a matter of fact, it's the beginning of a new phase in a man's life. A man who looks different, moves differently, speaks differently, because he was born with cerebral palsy. The new phase in his life began when he started the engine of that car and drove off with his brand new operator's license in his pocket. His name is Joe Elko, man with cerebral palsy, college student, and now automobile driver. It upsets some people to see Joe get into that car. In fact, it upsets some people to see him at all. That's because they don't understand that although Joe may look different, inside he's no different than anyone else. He and United Cerebral Palsy are looking forward to the day when everyone will understand. In the meantime, Joe joins us in hoping you'll give generously to United Cerebral Palsy. They had a hand in helping him become what he is today, a man with a future.
Democratic presidential candidates continued campaigning Monday in New Hampshire and Massachusetts. Birch Bayh, Fred Harris, and Sergeant Shriver all were in New Hampshire trying to win votes in next week's primary. George Wallace was in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, and Henry Jackson and Morris Udall were in Boston. Two Democrats not actively seeking their party's presidential nomination spoke at a Boston dinner last night, Senators Edward Kennedy and Hubert Humphrey. Humphrey repeated that he would accept the nomination if the party drafts him. the dinner was a fundraiser for Kennedy, who was seeking re-election to the Senate. George Meany of the AFL-CIO says that Humphrey is the best bet to defeat President Ford in November. Meany adds that the union is not endorsing anyone yet. The labor leader criticized the president yesterday for his labor policies, and Ike Siemens has a report.
George Meany charged that President Ford is completely unsympathetic to the unemployed in this country, and he's too much concerned with keeping corporations happy.
I don't think he knows anything about the unemployed situation. I never heard of him going to an area of the country where meeting with people who are unemployed. I've never heard him going to the unemployment office to talk to people who have this problem. I think he is completely without compassion as far as the little people of this country is concerned. He is concerned with the big corporations, and it's just that simple.
Meany said the only way the country will ever get out of its bad economic times is to put people back to work again. Ike Siemens for CBS News, Bal Harbor, Florida.
Now, this message.
Hi, I'm Mike Roy.
Of Himself's Cooking on Himself's CBS Radio Network, Monday through Saturday. What's on the shelf for tomorrow, Self?
How about a frozen lime pie?
Well, all right, how about it? How am I going to make it, though?
Well, it's simple. I'm not going to say it. You tune in and you've got to find out about it. I'm not going to give it away in advance.
Frozen lime pie. Is anything like a frozen daiquiri?
No, but it could be, I think, if you work. You got an idea there. I'm going to try to make a frozen daiquiri pie.
Oh, hey, friends, tune in tomorrow. Mike Roy's cooking thing here on the CBS Radio Net. Oh, and bring your ID card.
Here are some statistics for people who aren't taking their high blood pressure seriously. If your blood pressure is 150 over 100, subtract 16 years from your life, and chances are 3 times greater you'll have a stroke, 5 times greater you'll have a heart attack. But your future can be normal and healthy if you do treat your high blood pressure seriously. See a doctor. Get back on your treatment. And this time, stick with it. Treat your high blood pressure and live. A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Hamilton National Bank of Chattanooga will reopen today as the First Tennessee National Bank. The bank was reorganized yesterday after being declared insolvent by the U.S. Controller of the Currency. Controller James Smith says that Hamilton National was one of the 7 banks that he had dubbed problem banks in his testimony to Congress this month. Hamilton National's failure does not mean its depositors will lose any money, but bank stockholders are out of a lot of money. The bank's stock, which sold for about $25 a share in 1973, went down to about $3 a share last week and is now worth even less. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
6 minutes after 12 midnight on Music Radio 97 for a Tuesday morning, February 17th. Good morning, my name's Bill Garrity. I'll have local news for you at 12:30.
When the deep purple falls.